Toyota gazes skyward once again. The victims in Tuesday's crash in Oklahoma are identified. And these lasers didn't come from the office supply store. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, March 6th, 2008. Get ready for another big name from the Japanese auto industry entering the aviation market. Toyota Motor Company says it's been invited by Mitsubishi Heavy Industries to invest in the development of the Mitsubishi Regional Jet, a competitor to Embraer and Bombardier, announced by Mitsubishi last October. On Wednesday, Japan's Asahi Shimbun Daily reported Toyota plans to invest 10 billion yen, or about $97 million U.S., on developing the plane, which will use Pratt & Whitney geared turbofan power plants and Rockwell Collins avionics. Toyota spokeswoman Kayo Doi confirmed the offer and said Toyota is considering it, but added nothing has yet been decided. Toyota's cautious approach to the aviation market is nothing new. In the early 1990s, the company experimented with an aviation-tuned version of the 4-liter V8 from its Lexus luxury automobile division. Then, a few years ago, Toyota commissioned a new composite-bodied, four-place, single-engine demonstration aircraft from Burt Rutan's Scaled Composites. The plane flew in May of 2002, but the program never went forward. Oklahoma City's KOCO-TV reports authorities have identified the five victims of Tuesday afternoon's crash of a Cessna Citation 500 shortly after takeoff from Wiley Post Airport. If witness reports are accurate, they may also have a lead on the cause. The plane's two-man crew included Tim Hartman of Yukon and Rick Sandoval of Weatherford. They were provided, along with the plane, by management company Interstate Helicopters to clients Garth Bates Jr., Frank Poole Jr., and Lloyd G. Austin, identified as executives of United Engines in Oklahoma City. The three were reportedly making a business trip to Minnesota. One witness told KWTV News the plane flew through a flock of birds, and one apparently was sucked through an engine, fell, and landed in a nearby lake. Other witnesses described radical maneuvers during the pilot's apparent recovery attempt, followed by a fireball and a black cloud on impact. The FAA is investigating. We'll tell you more when we know. Canadian officials say they suspect mischief makers, not organized terrorists, are behind a recent rash of laser attacks on aircraft landing at Toronto's Pearson International Airport. But the distinction is lost on pilots who've been the victims. The Toronto Star reports at least five pilots have complained recently to Transport Canada, saying someone on the ground aimed a laser beam into their cockpits on final approach. Agency spokesperson Deborah Baxter said there have been 11 incidents reported in Ontario in the past year, but adds many more likely went unreported. Police investigated two reports so far this year, and a teenager was apprehended but not charged. Ordinary laser pointers can cause temporary flash blindness and may lead to permanent vision damage when aimed at planes at night. Captain Stephen Guetta, a 20-year Air Canada pilot, says the blindness, even if temporary, comes at a really bad time. Quote, "When you're in the final 10 to 12 seconds prior to touchdown, that's the highest risk when you're moving from your instruments to looking outside, trying to get your depth of perception. The pilot has very little time to react," unquote. Steve Lott, spokesman for the Montreal-based International Air Transport Association, believes the lasers used in the recent incidents are more powerful than the pocket laser pointers you get at the office supply store. He thinks they're more likely in the class used by astronomers and snipers. Labor unrest is leading to big airline delays in Germany this week. Public service workers throughout Germany made good on their threats to walk off the job Tuesday. Thousands of airline passengers were stranded at gates when baggage handlers, ticket counter workers, and ground crew workers, represented by the Verdi Union, walked off their jobs, joined in sympathy strikes by airport firefighters. The Associated Press reports bus drivers and subway operators also walked off the job early Wednesday. At Frankfurt International Airport, where over 2,000 workers struck Wednesday morning, union rep Frank Pizirki told a crowd at a rally, quote, "Either the public employers make an offer with clear salary increases and without increased work hours, or we will show them our strength," unquote. The government has offered a 5% raise over 2 years with a longer work week. The union is holding out for an 8% raise, retroactive to January 1st, with no increase in hours. Lufthansa said it canceled 142 domestic flights, but its international schedule was unaffected by the strikes. Up next on ANN, Boeing wants an early debrief from the Air Force on the KCX decision. Australia says it will cancel an order from Cayman and maybe one from Boeing. And the Pentagon says, read my lips, no new C-17s. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 6th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The Pentagon tells Boeing it will meet with company officials on or after March 12th to explain why the Boeing KC-767 aerial refueling tanker lost an Air Force contract bid competition to a design proposed by Northrop Grumman and Eads. Boeing's PR department says it has requested an immediate debrief from the Air Force, calling a week's delay, quote, inconsistent with well-established procurement practices, unquote. In further explaining their request to move up the debriefing, Mark McGraw, VP of 767 tanker programs at Boeing, said the delay is unusual, quote, given that we are already seeing press reports containing detailed competitive information, we feel that our request is more than fair and reasonable, unquote. Appearing to acknowledge claims by Eads that the Airbus-based tanker was a lower-risk proposal given the late deliveries of Boeing's military tankers to Japan and Italy, McGraw added, quote, Boeing is a single, integrated company with its assets, people, and technology under its own management control with 75 years of unmatched experience building tankers. Northrop and Eads are two companies that will be working together for the first time on a tanker, on an airplane they've never built before, under multiple management structures, across cultural, language, and geographic divides. We do not understand how Boeing could be determined the higher risk offering. The questions we are asking, as well as others being raised about this decision, can best be answered with a timely debrief, unquote. U.S. lawmakers have already called for a congressional inquiry into why the Boeing design, which appeared to closely follow the specifications the Air Force requested, lost out to its larger, more expensive, thirstier, foreign-sourced rival. When Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd's new government took over after elections last November, Rudd ordered a review of military procurement contracts. The country's agreement to purchase 11 Navy Sea Sprite helicopters from U.S.-based Cayman Corporation apparently will be the first major cancellation of a standing contract. It may not be the last. The Washington Post reports the contract with Cayman was due to be completed by 2002, but only 9 helicopters have been delivered. Flight testing of those delivered turned up safety concerns, and the Australian Navy grounded the Sea Sprites in April of 2006. Defense Minister Joel Fitzgibbon told reporters that while the equivalent of $1.2 billion U.S. had already been invested, it was time to cut losses and move on. Quote, the project had to be canceled on safety grounds alone. The airworthiness and crashworthiness of the aircraft was not up to 21st century standards, and it was pretty clear the capability was not likely to be delivered in full, unquote. Cayman's CEO, Neil Keating, released a statement which said in part, quote, although we have created a highly capable aircraft for the Royal Australian Navy and continue to fulfill our obligations to the Commonwealth under our contract, we appreciate the thoughtful approach and time invested by the current government in addressing our problem, and we will work with them toward arriving at a satisfactory arrangement, unquote. If you want to parse that, he's saying Australia will have to negotiate its way out of the deal. Rudd's new government has also been critical of its predecessor's decision to pay Boeing $4.6 billion U.S. for 20 FA-18 Super Hornet fighters. Fitzgibbon says he's prepared to cancel that contract, pending a review next month. The Pentagon's chief weapons buyer said this week that despite the Air Force putting more C-17 transport planes on its dream list to Congress, the Pentagon's position remains the same as it's been for 2 years. The planes are not needed. Reuters reports John Young was addressing reporters' questions about the Air Force's $18.7 billion unfunded priorities list that included 15 more C-17s. The list is an annual attempt at an end run around the Pentagon's official budget request. Lawmakers are always looking for pork to bring home to districts in which there could be an economic impact. Congress already funded 18 C-17s beyond Pentagon requests in the past 2 years to keep C-17 production going at the urging of the Air Force. Allowing those production lines to be shut down would be very expensive to reverse. The Pentagon's Inspector General's office is trying now to determine whether the Air Force has wrongfully encouraged Boeing to spend hundreds of millions of dollars of its own money maintaining suppliers for C-17 production in anticipation of congressional approval of unfunded priorities. The inquiry was requested by a group of U.S. senators, including the presumed Republican presidential nominee John McCain of Arizona, who's on record backing the Pentagon in opposing extended C-17 production. Helicopter flight students weren't the only ones left in a financial hole by the sudden collapse of Silver State Helicopters February 3rd. It turns out that before Silver State filed for Chapter 7 liquidation, the city of New Braunfels, Texas, had let the company run up a fuel tab of over $73,000, which has gone unpaid. The Herald Zeitung newspaper reported on Monday that Silver State also owed outstanding lease payments for a control tower at the New Braunfels Municipal Airport, rent on the hangar it occupied since 2005, and unpaid utility bills and various fees. In all, the city is owed $113,289.80. And the bleeding continues. Although the airport is now a much quieter place, doesn't really need a tower, the tower is still in operation there, costing the city $4,000 a week. New Braunfels City Manager Mike Morrison told the paper, quote, "We recognized that it was not a sound business practice and have changed our policies to safeguard against it happening again," unquote. The city has hired a Las Vegas law firm to represent its interests in the bankruptcy. Hey, get in line. Still ahead, Delta makes it tougher for competing travel websites. The Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter witnesses a red planet avalanche. And a new air show gets some help from the U.S. Air Force. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, March 6th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. A few years ago, the airline industry decided to stop paying commissions to traditional travel agents. Now, the airlines are not only squeezing out internet travel sites from airline ticket sales, but actually competing with them in other areas. If you've ever tried to compare airline ticket prices on the web, you may have noticed that some airlines, notably Southwest, don't participate. Southwest knows that if you're really doing your homework on prices, you'll check southwest.com in addition to Expedia or Travelocity. It's a gamble that makes sense if you've created a strong discount brand, which Southwest has certainly done. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports Delta Airlines isn't quite ready to pull its product off the travel sites, but it is moving to drive more traffic to its own website by guaranteeing that you'll find the airline's lowest fares there. The guarantee works like this. Within certain conditions, if you buy a ticket at Delta.com, then find the same Delta itinerary on another travel site for a price $10 or more below what you paid Delta by midnight the same day, the airline will pay you the difference plus a $100 travel voucher. If it happens after midnight but within 24 hours, you'll get a refund. There's more at stake for Delta than just a few dollars in ticket booking fees to outside agencies. If you've been to Delta's website recently, you'll notice that the airline, as many others do, has actually gone into competition with the general travel sites, packaging Hilton hotel rooms and Avis or budget rent-a-cars and other partner products with your ticket purchase. You can read the new policy at www.delta.com by clicking the red banner that reads Best Fare Guarantee. A NASA spacecraft in orbit around Mars has captured the first-ever image of active avalanches near the red planet's north pole. The image shows tan clouds billowing away from the foot of a towering slope where ice and dust have just cascaded down. The high-resolution imaging experiment on NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter was being used to check for springtime changes in the carbon dioxide frost covering a dune field when it caught the avalanche by accident. Ingrid Dalbar-Spitali of the University of Arizona at Tucson, who works on targeting the camera, was the first person to notice the avalanches. Quote, "It really surprised me. It's great to see something so dynamic on Mars. A lot of what we see there hasn't changed for millions of years," unquote. Scientists now plan to study the area in more detail to analyze the water content of the ice falling from the slope. The roster of performers for the first ever OC Air Show at Ocean City, Maryland, just got some close air support. The U.S. Air Force has announced it will support the show with the F-15 and F-16 demonstration teams and its Heritage Flight Program, featuring state-of-the-art fighters flying in close formation with World War II, Korean, and Vietnam-era fighters such as the P-51 Mustang. In fact, in this case, a vintage P-51 will participate. Ocean City Mayor Rick Meehan replied, quote, "We're grateful for the significant commitment that the U.S. Air Force has made for our inaugural event. These aircraft will add tremendously to the inspiration and excitement that the OC Air Show will bring to the skies over our town," unquote. Organizers say the show will be visible along the majority of the boardwalk, with interactive displays and exhibits open to the public near Show Center at 16th Street on the boardwalk. Premium seating and VIP chalets are also available. And finally, for the fifth consecutive year, EADS North America will be the lead corporate supporter of the Air Force Charity Ball. The event is organized by the Air Force AIDS Society, the official charity of the U.S. Air Force. EADS North America Chairman and CEO Ralph Crosby presented a check to the Air Force AIDS Society's CEO, retired Lieutenant General John D. Hopper, Jr., to support the 2008 Charity Ball, scheduled for Saturday at Bowling Air Force Base in Washington, D.C. The Air Force AIDS Society assists U.S. airmen worldwide. This year's sponsorship of the U.S. Air Force event carries added meaning for EADS. A team comprised of EADS and Northrop Grumman was awarded the Air Force's KCX aerial refueling tanker contract last Friday over a competing bid from Boeing. As reported earlier, Boeing is seeking details from the Air Force on why its bid, which was much closer to the specs in the request for proposal, mysteriously lost that competition. Anyway, the checks each year from EADS to the Air Force AIDS Society have... Hey, wait a minute! That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, impressions of the Cessna 162 Skycatcher from Cessna CEO Jack Pelton, EAA President Tom Poberesny, and Martha King of the King Schools. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. Hey, laugh all you want, but if I'm right, next year Boeing will be writing a check to that charity ball. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.